Radio Prague News.
The independence political movement has lodged a complaint questioning the validity of this month's general elections. Prague City Court has adjourned the trial of two elderly men in connection with a murder case dating back to 1957. And the chemicals maker Draslovka is to pay a fine of 2 million crowns for a leak of hazardous cyanides into the Elbe River. The independence political movement has lodged a complaint with the Supreme Administrative Court questioning the validity of the June elections, the independence election leader Jana Hamplová said on Monday. She said that the independents want the court to rule that the mandates of 200 deputies elected over a week ago are invalid. The independents argue that the public service Czech television only provided space in its pre-election discussion programs to five political parties that later emerged successful from the election and therefore created the impression that there were only five electable parties on the Czech political scene. According to the Supreme Administrative Court, it is the 26th complaint regarding the elections it's received, but it is the first complaint filed by a political party or movement. Prague City Court has adjourned the trial of two elderly men in connection with a murder case dating back to 1957. The two men, Milan Michel and Stanislav Tomeš, both former agents of the communist-era intelligence service, are accused of sending a letter bomb to a senior French politician, which killed his wife by mistake. The case was adjourned on Monday due to the two men's age and ill health. The legal proceedings were launched in 2001 after 5 years of investigation by the Office for the Documentation and Investigation of the Crimes of Communism. The two men face up to 15 years in prison, but because of their age and poor health, they are unlikely to serve sentences even if they are eventually convicted. The Czech Environmental Inspection Office has decided to fine the chemicals maker Draslovka 2 million crowns for a leak of hazardous cyanides into the Elbe River in January. The firm will pay 1.9 million crowns or $86,000 for illegal release of dangerous material and 100,000 crowns for failing to announce a warning in time. Company representatives said they respected the decision, adding that the firm wanted to invest 30 million crowns in special preventative and corrective measures this year. In January, a cyanide leak from Draslovka killed some 10 tons of fish in an 83-kilometer stretch of the Elbe. Neighboring Germany complained at the time that it had received the information about the accident too late. And staying with the environment, the Czech Environmental Inspection has said it intends to fine German companies as well as Czech ones for illegal imports of waste into the Czech Republic. According to the inspection, the German companies failed to make sure their Czech partners were authorized to deal with waste. Altogether, 15 tons of waste has been brought to the Czech Republic. The environmental inspection is dealing with 16 illegal dumps, including 6 or 7 from which the waste has not yet been removed. Following an agreement with the Czech Environment Ministry, the German side has removed the waste from most of the sites. The Czech power utility ČEZ said on Monday that Western European power companies, faced with a shortage of skilled technicians and amid expectations of a nuclear power renaissance, are headhunting Czech nuclear power experts. A ČEZ spokesman said that many Western European countries had run down their nuclear industries and now lacked the necessary experts. The head of the Czech Nuclear Society, Václav Hanus, said that some new graduates in nuclear subjects had already taken up offers in Britain. He said British companies were prepared to offer £10,000 as a welcome bonus to new recruits. ČEZ, which operates two nuclear power plants in the Czech Republic, says it sees the situation as a threat. And finally, a glance at the weather. The current warm and sunny weather is expected to continue throughout the first half of the week, with daytime highs reaching 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Jan Wellinger. Coming up, we look at the latest developments 1 week after elections ended in deadlock. Could a grand coalition be in the cards? We look back on a murder case from the days of the Cold War, and the Czechs gear up for their debut at the World Cup. Those stories all ahead. It is exactly 1 week since general elections in the Czech Republic produced a stalemate, from the center-right and center-left blocs each winning 100 seats in the lower house. The first tentative negotiations on forming a new government indicate that, politically at least, the Czechs are in for a long, hot summer. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
It has been a week of speculation and muscle flexing as the country's political leaders prepare to divide the spoils of power. Although the centre-right Civic Democrats won the elections, their victory has been soured by the stalemate. They have been going through the motions of trying to set up a centre-right coalition government with the Christian Democrats and the Greens. But without support from the opposition, the fate of this alliance is doomed, and things are not looking good. The opposition Social Democrats, whose leader Jiří Paroubek is still smarting from his election defeat, have made it clear that any support from the party would not come cheap. At a conference of the party's executive leadership over the weekend, all newly elected Social Democrat MPs signed an agreement not to support the emerging centre-right coalition. As head of the runner-up party, Mr. Paroubek is obviously hoping to get his own shot at trying to form a coalition government, or at least to thrash as much political capital as he can from the present situation. He told journalists that a new government was not likely to emerge before August, and added that the Civic Democrats would sweat blood before the summer was out. Challenged by newsmen that he was stalling progress on a deal, Mr. Paroubek made it clear that he would not be pushed.
I don't think that August is a distant prospect. If you remember the last but one election in Austria, the negotiations on a new government took many, many months, and I think that you will agree that Austria has a more developed democracy than the Czech Republic.
Many political analysts see a German-style coalition between the two main parties as the best way to resolving the impasse. The Civic and Social Democrats have so far ruled out the possibility, but commentators suggest that behind the scenes the two parties may already be dividing the spoils. Even if that were the case, it would probably take weeks for such a scenario to be discussed publicly, since the two parties have made it clear that they would only cooperate under extreme circumstances as a last-ditch option. Besides the difficulties of agreeing on pension, health and tax reform, both parties fear that their voters might see such a deal as betrayal, a marriage of convenience in which neither party could deliver on its election promises. Political analyst Vladimíra Dvořáková says this is a big mistake.
You have the basic idea, you have to think about the basic things you would like to realize, and there is a question of compromise. You know, in the Czech society still is such a feeling that compromise and consensus is something immoral. But in Western societies, the politician who is able to find compromise and consensus is one of the highest values, or, you know, the politician has to do or skills to do. And in the Czech society, if someone is accepting compromises, everybody is criticizing the person that he is not moral enough because he's accepting compromises. Compromises are extremely important because they do not divide the society between the losers and winners. You know, I know that with compromise, no one is happy. Yeah, because everybody supposed that it could be better. So no one is satisfied, in fact. But really, you do not polarize the society. And this is very important for, you know, any integrity of the society. If you have really the society that someone is really the winner and what he gains, the other person lost, it's really very bad for the politics. So compromises are fine. In fact, I don't strongly believe in these promises that were set during the electoral campaign. And I think that most of the voters are also realistic, that they do understand that this is really more rhetoric than reality.
The analyst Vladimíra Dvořáková there on the situation in the Czech Republic now, in that report by Daniela Lazarová. Now, Prague City Court began the trial of two elderly men on Monday in connection with a murder case that goes back almost 50 years. The two men, Milan Michel and Stanislav Tomáš, are accused of sending a letter bomb to a senior French politician whose wife was killed by mistake. However, the case was adjourned almost as soon as it began due to the man's age and ill health. And Rob Cameron joins me in the studio now. Rob, we've heard the case has been adjourned. Does that mean it has been postponed indefinitely?
Well, it's hard to say, Jan, but knowing how slowly the Czech justice system works, it's very likely. Only one of the two men, Mr. Michel, who's now 79, turned up in court. The second, Mr. Tomáš, excused himself on grounds of ill health. The judge will now examine whether they are indeed fit to stand trial.
Now, it sounds like indeed a fascinating case going back so far. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it dates back to 1957, the darkest days of the Cold War, if you like. The two were members of communist Czechoslovakia's intelligence service, the STB, and they were involved in a plot to murder a senior French politician, and that was an attempt to drive a wedge between France and Germany and actually stave off the creation of what we now know as the European Union.
Mm-hmm. And what was the incentive, say, for communist Czechoslovakia to try to actually prevent the creation of the European Union?
Well, it wasn't so much Czechoslovakia. According to two former Czechoslovak intelligence officers who later defected to the West, the whole thing was orchestrated by Moscow, by the Russians. The Soviets were deeply concerned about French-German reconciliation, and in particular by the planned creation of the European Economic Community, which later became, of course, the European Union. They saw that as a threat to their economic and geopolitical interests. So the KGB plans to kill a senior French official, blame it on German neo-Nazis, and thus drive a wedge between France and Germany.
And so if the KGB were orchestrating the whole thing from above, how were the two Czech defendants involved?
Well, in May 1957, according to prosecutors, they built and sent a letter bomb disguised as a box of cigars to this French politician, André Trémaux, who was the prefect of Strasbourg. It was addressed to him at a session of the European Coal and Steel Community, which became the EEC, which became the EU. However, the package wasn't opened for several days, and it wasn't opened by him eventually. It was opened by his wife, Henriette, who was killed. So not only did the Russians kill the wrong woman, they also quite obviously failed in their attempts at preventing the unification of Europe.
Okay, thanks, Rob Cameron, for that story. And you're tuned to Radio Prague, and sports news is coming up next. And what other way could we start than talking about the World Cup? On Monday, the Czech national squad makes its much-anticipated debut. It's the first time the Czechs will take part in the tournament since 1990. Pavel Nedvěd, Karel Poborský, Jan Koller all will play in the game against the U.S., although in all likelihood the team will be without striker Milan Baroš. He has not fully recovered from a leg injury. The Czechs, in one of the tougher qualifying groups, also including Ghana and Italy, will of course hope to come out on top in the match. Still, coach Karel Brückner has indicated he is aware of the American team's strengths, saying,
"It's
a compact team. They've played a long time together under the same coach. The players have a lot of self-confidence and are well prepared and have a definite game plan and a fixed and tactical style of play."
The evening game guarantees that pubs with widescreen TVs throughout Prague and other parts of the Czech Republic will be packed, and there's no question plenty of beer will be flowing. Earlier, I went out onto the streets of Prague to get a sense of fans' anticipation ahead of the game, asking them what they thought about the Czech team.
They'll probably go further than my team, American. I hope it's not a total knockout, but I'm thinking Czech might win maybe 2-1. It'll be tough.
I know they're rated second in the world, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Right. So it should be a good game.
Czech against 2 and USA 1. It's good.
I don't think so. 3-1.
Now, most bookmakers see the Czech Republic as the favorite. But as some of the reactions show, it could be tense. One bystander told me that at her home, all the focus will be on the World Cup.
Sure, we're looking forward to it. We've talked a lot about it, and I hope our players do well.
And following the US, the Czech Republic will next face Ghana, and their final group match will be against Italy. And now we turn to tennis. Days after going out in her first Grand Slam semifinals at Roland Garros, up-and-coming Czech tennis star Nicole Vaidišová is now looking forward to Wimbledon, which begins in a fortnight. In the meantime, she has reportedly been studying for exams in her second year at a Czech business academy. The 17-year-old, whose semi-final appearance at the French was her most important match to date, rated her performance as a B, although many pundits would rate her less harshly since she beat two world-class players to get there, Venus Williams and Amélie Mauresmo. Vaidisheva eventually lost in three sets to Svetlana Kuznetsova of Russia, 5-7, 7-6 and 6-2. And we turn to ice hockey. The Edmonton Oilers faced a crucial Game 3 at the weekend, more or less a must-win for the team to keep its hopes alive in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they succeeded, not without a little help from Czech players. Forward Aleš Hemský and old hand Jaroslav Špaček each assisted in their team's two goals to lift Edmonton over the Carolina Hurricanes 2-1. And that's the sport. And right now it's time for our weekly one-on-one interview program hosted by Ian Willoughby.
Dr. Ottomar Kitnar is Vice Dean for International Students at the Medical Faculty at Prague's Charles University. It's his job to coordinate the enrollment and teaching of students from around the world. They study medicine here in English. When the program began in 1992, there were only 5 or 6 students a year. Today it takes in around 120. And, says Dr. Kitnar, interest has increased even further since the Czech Republic joined the European Union.
Of course, it was such a very important moment for our study program taught in English language, as the number of applicants increased, I think, twice or three times. That's why it was necessary to increase the number of enrolled students, because until the year 2004, we have got limit 60 students in English taught course, but because there were so many applicants, we have increased it up to 100, but it was not very simple, because, you know, number of students that could be enrolled to the study program of medicine depends very closely on capacity of teaching hospitals. So first it was necessary to contact some other Prague hospitals and to arrange possibility of clinical tuition at some departments in these hospitals and to open this cooperation. Then it was possible to increase number of enrolled students. Number of applicants is now about 200 every year, so about one half of them succeed.
Why is it, do you think, that foreign students want to come to Prague to study medicine?
There are different reasons. For instance, in United Kingdom, it's a question of shortage of places at schools of medicine. In the case of students from United States, it's a little bit different. For them, it is better to complete studies in Europe than to study at some university in United States that is not very prestigious. Of course, there are some students who tried to be admitted in their home country and they haven't succeeded, so they try some other options. So for such students, it is second option.
Would you say most of the students have already tried and failed to get into university in their home country?
This is about 30% of applicants, not so many. But very often these students are not successful at our entrance exam.
The cost of living here in Prague is, of course, less than, for example, in Britain. Is that also a factor in terms of why students choose to come to study here?
I don't think that it is the crucial factor. But, of course, it is very important for them to calculate the costs for the study. If you calculate to get the tuition fees and living costs, I think that it is comparable to study in Britain and in Prague. For instance, one of our former students who has been working now in Glasgow, in the city hospital in Glasgow, has explained to me that when he had been studying here in Prague medicine, and his brother had been studying law in Bristol. Both of them were from London. It was cheaper and quicker for him to go home from Prague by plane to London than for his brother to come from Bristol by train to London. So, of course, the costs, living costs and travel costs, could be also one of factors that can support this decision. But I repeat that I don't think that this is a crucial factor.
What about the recognition of the students' qualification when they leave, when they graduate here?
Our diplomas are recognized, of course, in European Union generally. Our diplomas are recognized also in United States and many other countries, so with this we have no problem. Now, for instance, students returning to England don't need to pass PLAP test or something like this, what was necessary 3 years ago. So it is now relatively simple to start professional career in the home country. Of course, there is a question how many students return really home. I tried to make such statistics about our graduates. About 85% of our graduates return home. About 10 to 12% go to United States, which is a very popular destination, and about 5% stays here in Prague after completing their study.
Does the number of foreign students here help improve the perception internationally of Charles University's medical faculty?
I hope so. I hope that in the future it will be a very important investment for Czech doctors, because they will be able to find colleagues in many European countries and also overseas who know well the conditions of life in our country, and the level of education at the university, the name of university, and of course this can help some closer contacts and cooperation in future.
What about language? Do the students who come here from Britain and Greece and so on, do they learn Czech? And also, do they spend much time or do they much interact with Czech students?
These are two questions. First question. A part of the study program, a very important part, is also a course of Czech language. It is implemented in the first 3 years of the study program, but it is not a real course of the language with the grammar and all details. It is only course oriented for communication with patients. As medicine, we can say, is composed from three parts. It is theoretical knowledge, some practical skills, and communication skills. So it is necessary to prepare the students for the communication with local patients. As for contact with Czech students, there are many differences. It is up to students. We prepare for them some possibilities, like, for instance, 1 week in the mountains, and we arrange it together for Czech and international students, because this is such a possibility of informal contacts and can continue later during their studies.
My last question is, do you think the students who come here from other EU countries and further afield, that they enjoy the experience of living in Prague for a few years and studying here?
I hope so, and we do really our best in order to offer them such conditions that they really can enjoy it. I think that it could be very interesting to pass some part of life abroad. And in medicine, it is important also for one reason. They learn that medicine is really global. Ill people are ill people all over the world and doesn't depend on the nationality, religion, anything like this. They need the same help, the same empathy. And I think this could be a very important experience for our students and graduates.
And that was Dr. Ottomar Kitnár speaking to Ian Willoughby in this week's edition of One on One. And we hope you enjoyed today's program. Don't forget, you can write to us here at Radio Prague to let us know what you think. Our address is Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. And it's probably even easier for you just to send us an email here at the station. You can write to english@radio.cz. Also, keep an eye on that Czech football team starting its debut this Monday against the U.S. We're all keeping our fingers crossed here at Radio Prague. For all of us, though, it's now time to say goodbye and thanks for listening.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.